Thanks for listening to MCC's podcast. Have a great day and enjoy the message.
Look with me in 1 Kings at the first two verses. 1 Kings chapter 18. He says this, after a long time, in the third year of the famine, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, go and present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain. Everybody say rain. Rain on the land. So Elijah went and presented himself to Ahab. Now, you may remember from last week that this set up this incredible duel on the top of Mount Carmel between God's prophet, Elijah, and the 450 prophets of Baal, 400 prophets of Asherah. There's this incredible duel that happens up there where God reveals and shows himself to be the one true God, the God who controls the weather and the elements. There's this amazing thing that happens there, and God proves himself to be who Elijah said he was. Now, we're going to pick up right after that because I want you to see the response of the people. Look with me at verse 39 of that same chapter. The scripture says this, when all the people saw this, now remember, Elijah called fire down out of heaven. God's fire came and consumed the offering and the altar and everything that was there. When the people saw this, they fell prostrate. They fell on their faces and they cried, the Lord, Yahweh, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Watch. Then Elijah commanded them, seize the prophets of Baal. Don't let anyone get away. So they seized them. Again, it's the people of Israel right around there. They seized these false prophets, and Elijah had them brought down to the Kishon Valley and had them slaughtered there. Wow. Now, by all measures, this is an amazing victory. It's just incredible what's happened up here on Mount Carmel. God has come through, and on top of all that, God is saying the drought is over. Rain is coming. It's pretty exciting. Now, as we continue in this narrative today, we're going to draw some things like we've been doing through this whole series. We're drawing some life lessons from Elijah's experience. And what happens next, there are some life lessons for you and me in our faith, in our trusting God, that God wants us to walk out of here with today. So let's ask him right now just to not let us miss a thing he has. Lord, we thank you for this moment that we come to your word. God, we thank you for the New Testament because it is the completion of the gospel. It gives us life and health, and we thank you for that last part of the Bible. But Lord, thank you that you love to speak to us, and there's still so much in the Old Testament for us to glean from today. And so, Lord, we pray that you will not let us miss a single thing that you have for us out of this message, out of this word, out of this passage today. I pray this in Jesus' name. If you agree with that prayer, just say amen. 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 So, let's pick up with what happens next. Verse 41. Follow along with me. Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound, everybody say sound, sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab went off to eat and drink. But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Go and look toward the sea, he told his servant. And he went up and looked. There's nothing there, he said. Seven times, Elijah said, go back. The seventh time, the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, go and tell Ahab, hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds. The wind rose, a heavy rain came on, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel. The power of the Lord came upon Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel. Pretty interesting thing that happens here. Elijah sends word to Ahab. There's a sound of heavy rain. It's coming. And so Ahab, he's been celebrating and he's been eating and living it up. And so the Bible says that he starts to get ready to go. But Elijah comes back up to the top of the mountain, back up to Mount Carmel, and he bends down. The Bible says he bows down with his knees to the ground and his face between his knees. Now look, I was going to demonstrate that for you today. But honestly, I tried it this week, and you don't want to see that. You just, it doesn't really work for me to do that physically. So, but you can kind of picture this intensity. And listen, this place of reverence and this place of fervency that Elijah is assuming this posture in prayer. And then Elijah does something else. And to help illustrate this, I've invited somebody to help me today. Will you welcome Carter? Carter Nash is going to help me out today. Now, in this little illustration, Carter, thank you so much for your willingness to help me, bud. I appreciate this. So in this illustration, here's what's going to happen. I get to be Elijah. And that means Carter gets to be Elijah's servant. Right? He's young, he's healthy, he's fit. Yeah. Are you ready for this? Yeah. Okay. That's good. Because what the Bible says is that Elijah sent his servant to the top of Mount Carmel and to look over to the sea and to find out and see what he sees. So servant, I want you to climb all the way. Run. Go. Go up to the top. Yeah, cheer for him. That's fine. Sure. Take a look around and come right back down, servant, because you've got to report to us what's going on up there. Thank you for coming back. So servant, tell me, you went up there and you looked toward the sea, and what did you see?
Not a thing.
Not a thing?
Nope, nothing.
Not a thing. Stay right there, servant. You see, he didn't see anything, and I want you to know, as a beginning place for us in our message today, I want you to understand that when it comes to exercising faith, now listen to this, faith always hears something before it sees something. Faith will always hear something before it sees it. That's the beginning of our faith. We hear a word. Elijah heard a word from God. God said, I'm going to send rain. He heard it, and so he sends his servant, and he came back, and he doesn't see anything. So what does Elijah do? Well, I guess that's it. God's word was wrong. That's not what we read, is it? God said Elijah sent his servant again. So servant, go again. Take a look. I want to see it. Tell me what you see. Now let me ask, while he's going up there and taking a look toward the sea, how do we hear from God? Hey, I'm talking up here, all right? No, I'm joking. So how is it that we hear from God? You see, yeah, he'll speak to us in our heart. The Bible says that he will speak to us through the word. What you're doing right now, interacting with the word of God, hearing it taught, hearing it preached. He will speak to us. In fact, the Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So when you're doing your devotions daily, when you're spending, even if it's just that 5 minutes in the morning, you are feeding something, you're fueling something in your faith, you're hearing from God. And that's where faith begins. Servant, welcome back. Tell me, you looked out to the sea. What did you see?
Nothing again.
Oh! Oh! Are you sure you saw nothing? It's funny, you know, he sounds kind of like Schultz on Hogan's Heroes. You remember that? Anybody over 50, you remember that show, right? I see nothing, nothing. Why is it that Elijah kept sending his servant back? Have you ever thought about that? I got two reasons. I think there are two reasons. One, I think Elijah was like my age or older, and he was just tired. He's like, no, you're going to go up there, and look, I'm going to stay here and pray. Actually, I think there may be something else there too. And that is that Elijah, now listen, Elijah is praying in faith, believing and trusting God. And I believe Elijah needed and wanted somebody else who he trusted, who could confirm when they saw God doing something that confirmed what he knew in his heart God had already said. He wanted that connection. He wanted that confirmation. He wanted somebody he could trust who could hear a word from God on his behalf and see with their own eyes what Elijah was believing for. Now, does that make sense? You see, for so many of us, we cut ourselves off from other people. We don't get in a community group, a small group like we were talking about doing today right after this service. And that's the very place where maybe God is going to use someone to speak something into your life that you've been asking God for, that you've been believing God for. He used his servant in that way. So the third time, what did Elijah do? Get up the hill, man. Go. Look. Go look again. Go look again. I asked for a lot of volunteers in the first service, man. Everybody was giving me all these excuses. Oh, ACL, my back. All that kind of stuff. He sent him up. Come on back, servant. I don't have a lot of filler in here for this moment, so I just want you to know that. He keeps sending him up, and he comes back again a third time. Now, look, I'm counting on you. Be honest with me. What did you see up there?
Nothing.
Okay, this illustration is not going like I wanted. You're fired. Get out of here, man. Give him a hand, actually. Give him a hand. Great job, Carter. Listen, I really don't have time to send him up three more times and four more times, but why was he doing that? Why did he keep sending him? It's because Elijah had heard the word. He had heard a sound. He had heard from God, and he knew what God had spoken to him. And so he's saying, I'm just going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep praying. Remember, all this while, he is in this position of praying. And so the fourth time he sends his servant, nothing. Fifth time he sends his servant, nothing. Sixth time he sends his servant, nothing. Elijah still prays. And it's about this time in the passage when I realize, as I'm preparing for this message, I recognize something about Elijah. Elijah is not only in a position of reverence and prayer and humbling himself before the Lord. Get this. He is literally in a Middle Eastern birthing position. He is in a position that a Middle Eastern woman, a Jewish woman of that day, quite often would take when they are in the pains of labor and about to give birth. What's happening? What are you saying, Pastor Dwayne? I'm saying this. I am saying that in his spirit, through faith and through prayer, Elijah is about to, he is trying to give birth to something in the natural that God has already spoken to him in the supernatural. And there's this intensity in this moment that's happening right there. It's powerful. It's powerful. Listen, I want you to know what Elijah was working through was an obstacle that you and I must work through in our faith, and that is the obstacle of invisibility. You see, when our faith starts, it always starts with invisibility. It always starts, we hear something, but we don't see it. And Elijah, in his intensity and his praying, is saying, I'm not worried about what I don't see. I know what God has told me. And I'm going to continue to pray. And so this obstacle of invisibility, it can cause many of us to be faint. We can be praying for our families, praying for our children, praying about the job, and it seems like nothing is happening. But can I tell you, something is happening. How many of you know that whenever it's going to rain, something else has to happen first? It's called evaporation. You see, when that servant is looking over the sea, he can't see, he can't tell what's happening, but we know, right, from science, that water is being evaporated up, it's becoming a vapor, and being drawn up into the sky, and eventually it begins to coalesce together, and it begins to form clouds, and then once it reaches a certain point, then it breaks open and we get rain. Here's the thing, you can't see that happening. You can't see evaporation. It's invisible, but it doesn't mean there's not anything happening. Elijah is breaking through this obstacle of invisibility as he prays, as he trusts God, as he is intense about this. He keeps praying because he knows something. He knows this. He knows that the only thing that is impossible with God is nothing. I know my servant said he sees nothing. He said he sees nothing, but I'm telling you, nothing is impossible with God. God can't do nothing. That's the only thing impossible with him, is nothing. And you and I know, we have the value of knowing Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where it tells us, it says what? It says that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of what? Things not seen. It's invisible. But my faith continues to contend for it, continues to pray. I continue to believe. He is in this birthing position. Now listen, this is important for you and me because we can get a word from the Lord that like something is going to happen, God's going to turn our family around, or God's going to do this, or God's going to do that. And if we're not careful, we may stop praying. Because we might think, well, God said it, and so it's going to happen, so I'm good. That would be a mistake. Because when God gives us that word, he is building and wanting to begin to build faith in our lives. But there is a process that is going to be happening in us as well as around us during that whole time where we're contending and believing and trusting God. God is going to change you and me through that process. As I'm believing God and fighting through that obstacle of invisibility and continuing to pray and trust God earnestly, God is changing me. He's changing my heart. He's changing my focus, my attention. He's connecting me with other people who can believe God with me. Not to mention the fact that God is also, as you and I are praying, there is a battle. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that we battle against spiritual forces in dark and heavenly places that are fighting against the will of God being brought out in our lives. So not only is there this kind of birthing within and God is changing and doing something inside of me, but there's also this battle in the heavenlies that's going on that you and I, if you want to read about that, go to Daniel chapter 4. You'll see a great picture of that. And so that's why we keep praying. We don't stop praying when we get that word. In fact, Jesus said it in Matthew 7:7. He said this. He said, keep asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. It's a labor. Let me say it that way. You and I, we must pray. It is the labor. It is the work of our faith. Our praying is the work of our faith. God, I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep praying. Now look, you don't have to get down in that position. It's not about physically the position you're in. It's where is your heart? And Lord, I know you're birthing something out of this prayer. You're birthing something out of this, and I'm going to trust you. Maybe you've heard a word from the Lord about your family, about your children, your job. Don't you dare stop praying. Because listen, you don't know which prayer is going to bring the breakthrough. 6 times didn't do it for Elijah on that mountain, but the 7th time was a breakthrough. Let's read on. Look what the scripture says on that 7th time. Verse 44, the servant reported what? A cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. Interesting. Now you might wonder about that. Look, a small little cloud. And what does Elijah do? The next verse, it says, so Elijah said, go tell Ahab, hitch up the chariot and get out of here. Get on it, because the sound of heavy rain, the rain is coming. You see, it's very tempting for us when we see something small. Well, let me say it this way. When we're believing for God to show up, quite often we're looking for the big thing. We're expecting this huge explosion and boom, there it is. Confetti's going to fly and fireworks are going to go off. And it's like, duh, it's finished. I mean, you know, we're expecting it to be like this morning, you know, like we're jumping up and down and like, yeah, right? And if we're not careful, we will miss the little thing that is the thing God intended us to see to keep our faith fueled. And to keep us in the battle and to keep praying. You see, the obstacle I'm talking about to our faith beyond invisibility is the obstacle of insignificance. Sometimes what we see can seem so insignificant that we just overlook it. We say, well, that can't really be from God, or I'm focused on the big thing, the big finish. You say it's only a little cloud, but I say it's evidence that God has been at work. What am I asking you to do? I'm saying celebrate the small start. Celebrate the small start. Little is much when God is in it. Elijah, previous to this, has told us a little bit of oil can provide for a widow for the rest of her lifetime. The Bible says a lad's little lunch is enough to feed thousands when God is in it. And a little baby born in an obscure Middle Eastern village just might be the savior of the world. God is in the small start. There was a man by the name of Zerubbabel in the Old Testament. You read it about it in Zechariah chapter 4. And they were rebuilding the temple after being away. And what did God say to encourage Zerubbabel? He spoke through the prophet Zechariah and he said, do not despise these days of small beginnings. Because the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Don't you miss that small beginning. Celebrate it. And then listen, do this. Act on it. Take action because of what you see God doing. Notice that Elijah didn't wait to get wet. He knew as soon as that sign came, it was time to move. It was time to do something with it. And so he sends that word to Ahab. And the Bible says that he sends word to Ahab and he says, hurry up and hitch up your chariot, because that ravine where all those prophets were just killed, where we just executed, that ravine is about to get filled up with water. And I don't want you to get bogged down in it. Go and run. And so the Bible says Ahab took off in his chariot, the 25 miles or so to Jezreel. And the Spirit of God comes on Elijah. And the Bible says he runs ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to Jezreel, 25 miles. I mean, this is an amazing victory. And what that really means, that imagery of Elijah running ahead of the chariot. Listen, what it really means is that now, whoever ran ahead of the king's chariot in that time frame, in that setting, it meant that they were the king's servant. It meant they were on the same page. And what Elijah is believing in this moment is that finally great things have happened in our nation. They've declared God is the Lord. And now Ahab and I are on the same page. And here we run into Jezreel. By all counts, it would be an awesome victory. But if that's what we think this is as what's happened, we would be wrong. Because the story doesn't stop there. And for some of us here today, the most important part of the story is what happens next. I want you to stand up for just a moment. Will you do that? I know I'm sweating up here. It seems kind of warm. My wife warned me not to wear a sweater today. Some of you are sweaty too because you've been dancing all around and doing all that stuff, right? Just give somebody a high five and tell them, hang on, we got about 12 more minutes. Don't you miss what God's about to say to you. All right, you can sit down. You can sit down. Sit down. Sit down. Follow with me. Let's keep reading. Go into chapter 19. Let's read a few more verses and finish up this message today. 1 Kings 19. Now Ahab, listen. Ahab told Jezebel, who was waiting in Jezreel, Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, may the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like one of them. Can I just tell you, that's a real poetic and fiery way of saying, I am going to kill you dead. That's what she was saying. I'm going to kill you dead. Verse 3. Look at this. Verse 3. Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba, can I just tell you, that's 90 miles in Judah. He left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the desert. He came to a broom tree, sat under it, and prayed again that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then he lay down under the tree and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, get up and eat. He looked around, and there by his head was a cake of bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. Whew. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. My one question I have out of this next part of this narrative is this. Can this be the same man? Is this the same Elijah? Is this the same guy who has been fed by ravens and provided for by the Lord during 3.5 years of famine, calls the shot of lightning on the top of Mount Carmel, puts to death all these prophets of Baal, runs ahead of the chariot 25. I mean, how can this be the same man? I don't buy it. The scripture says Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. I don't buy it. And before you, you know, start to roast me because I'm saying I don't buy what's in Scripture, I want you to look at verse 3 again with me. If you have your Bible, or maybe it's in your app, or maybe you saw it when we read it here together. It says, Elijah was afraid, and then there's a little asterisk there, or in my Bible, there's the letter A, which means there's a footnote. There's something down at the bottom of the page. Do you see that in your Bible? Look, down at the bottom, it says, as an alternate reading, when Elijah saw. It just says, Elijah saw. What's the point? Saw what? Listen to this. When Elijah saw that Jezebel was unrepentant, and when Elijah saw that her paganism was going to continue to rule this nation and rule its destiny, Elijah was broken in his spirit. And he ran. I don't believe it was because Elijah was afraid of this woman. I believe it was because Elijah had already overcome the obstacle to his faith of invisibility. He had already come that obstacle of insignificance, of the small beginning. He had already overcome all of that. But when he was confronted with the obstacle of disappointment, it nearly destroyed him. And he lost hope. And he ran. You see, you and I, our faith, we are going to be required at some point to face and to work through and to plow through this obstacle of disappointment. You see, disappointment is so strong, it can cause the man of God who just dropped all the prophets of Baal and executed them to drop under a tree in the middle of the desert and pray that he doesn't wake up. That's what disappointment can do to a person. You see, the truth I want you to pull from this is this, that Satan cannot prevent the blessings of God. The rain is falling in Israel while all this is happening. The rain has come. But what Satan will do is do everything he can do to prevent you from receiving the blessing that God has for you. And disappointment, discouragement, intimidation are some of the best tools he has to move you and me out of position from receiving what God is pouring out. That's a word for somebody here today. He will move us out. We might have expected that Elijah would be disappointed if God hadn't come through for him during the famine, or hadn't come through for him on the top of Mount Carmel. But why this? Why is this so disappointing for Elijah? Now, please capture this. Get this in your spirit. The reason this is so disappointing for Elijah is because the rain was never the goal. The end of the drought was not the goal. The goal was that Elijah's nation would return to the Lord. And so when Elijah gets word from Jezebel and discovers she is unrepentant and that she's going nowhere and that this nation is going to remain under her control in her paganism, Elijah is crushed and disappointed in his spirit. And he runs away. He travels 90 miles and runs away. Now, what do I want you to pull out of this for you? It's this. Listen. You and I must beware of false finish lines. We must be so cautious. What is our goal? What is it we're aiming at? Listen, that thing that you're praying for. You may have been praying for your children or praying for that job or praying about that circumstance or that situation. And that's a good thing that you're praying for. But don't get caught up in the fact that once that happens, well, then everything's going to be great. It's all going to be good. I've heard it said this way. When God gives you blessings, you're also going to get new battles. Oh, I love this one. New levels bring new devils. You see, we can be lured into thinking, if this will just happen, it's all going to be good. It was never about the rain. It was never about the drought being over. It was always about, will Israel's heart turn back to God? And even though they shouted to their top of their lungs, the Lord, He is God, he knew this revival in Israel would never last. It was a sham. And so he ran 90 miles, leaves his servant there, goes out into the middle of the desert, another day's journey. Can I just say that's another tactic of the enemy? I think I've already mentioned that. He will isolate you. Do not let the enemy isolate you from people that God wants to speak into your life. That's why today we're saying, please walk out of here. If you're not in a small group, walk out of here and just have a conversation with one of these helpers out in the foyer. They'll help you find a group of people that can encourage you, and you can encourage them. It's a mutual thing. That's why we want you in community. Don't do what Elijah did. Don't cut yourself off from those that are trusted, those that can speak life into you. He runs away. Despairs of life. Some of you, I believe, are kind of maybe in that place today. Maybe things haven't rolled out the way you prayed and thought they would. Maybe you gave it all. You're all at work. Nobody even said thank you. Nothing came of it. Maybe you're seeing behaviors in your kids that you know you didn't teach them to do that. You don't know where they got it. And you're praying and praying, and it just seems like nothing is happening. And you're tempted to run away like Elijah. Can I tell you what's happening today, what's happening right now, in this moment, as you're sitting here listening, as you're watching online, whenever it is you're watching this, what's happening right now is God is doing the same thing for you that he did for Elijah out there under that broom tree. He's nudging you. He's saying, eat. You need to eat my word. You need to feast on my presence. Why? Because the journey is too much for you. For some of you, this message today is the word of the Lord. It is the sign you've been asking God for. How do I know I'm praying and I'm not seeing anything? And God is saying, receive this word today. It's for you. It is for you. He's nudging you in your heart right now. He's saying, don't you dare stop praying. Don't stop trusting. There's something that God is birthing in you. Don't abort it. Don't abort it. The Bible says that, well, let me just connect this with something we heard at the gifts mic this morning. For some of you, what God is saying is you need to let the dead leaves drop. Did you get that word today? Some of us, we've been identifying with what was and is now dead, and we just need new life. We need a freshness of God. And maybe this word is that for you today. God, you're telling me to begin to believe again. Because look what happened. The Bible says after the angel came and ministered to Elijah, what happened? It says that he traveled 40 days in the strength of that food. Which, by the way, I never noticed this till this morning when I was reading over this message. You know what that means, don't you? It means also that he fasted for 40 days. He ate, and then he traveled for 40 days in the strength of that food. He didn't eat again. Listen, Jesus taught that some of the things that we're asking God to do in our life and in our families are only going to happen by prayer and fasting. That's another whole sermon, but I just want to throw that out there to you. Maybe we need to sacrifice some things in the natural to see God do them in the supernatural. But what was God doing? Just look at this. We're like 2 minutes away from done, okay? God was moving Elijah somewhere. It says that he traveled all the way to Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. That's 200 miles further south. And guess where that is? It's all the way down into what we would call the Middle East, to this mountain that overlooks a sea. Why there, Pastor Dwayne? Why this place called Mount Horeb? Well, let me tell you the other name for that mountain. The other name for that mountain is Mount Sinai. It's the place, It's the place where God first revealed himself to his people and to Charlton Heston, I mean, and to Moses. Again, everybody over 50 understands that. You see, what God did by sending that encouragement, that food, that word, what God does by sending messages like this into our lives is when we're on the journey and we're ready to quit, we're ready to give up, what will he do? He will give you messages like this that will strengthen you enough to get you where? To where you can hear him speak again. Oh, that's good. And why is it important to hear him speak again? Circle all the way back to where we began. It's because what we hear is the beginning of fresh faith in our lives. He has positioned Elijah to hear him again and to continue with the journey and the destiny that God has for him. And friends, that's what today has been for you. I believe this with all my heart. Now it's up to you. How are you going to respond? I want you to stand with me. I appreciate Pastor Brandon mentioning what the Apostle James wrote about Elijah. The context of what James wrote was healing, was that we can pray for one another and expect God to heal, to do physical healing, to minister. The reason I bring that up is this. Some of you here today, your thoughts may be, well, Pastor, I believe that for somebody like Elijah because he was like one of the greatest prophets that ever lived. He was God's man and he did all this awesome stuff. But that's not me. I ain't that. I can't even grow a good beard. No way I can be one of them prophets, right? The first part of that passage that Brandon alluded to, it says something that's important. It says Elijah, this is James, it says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. What does that mean? It means the same frailties, the same fears, the same susceptibilities to discouragement and disappointment. He was just like you and me. And yet, he prayed fervently. And at his word, the Bible says, the heavens were closed up for 3.5 years. And at his word, he prayed again. But that last part of that passage, that little passage in James, it says he prayed. Can I just say he prayed? And he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed. And he prayed, and then he prayed, and he prayed, and then the heavens were open, the rains came, and the land yielded its fruit. For many of us today, we're in that process. We're praying and praying and praying and praying. And I'm here to tell you today and encourage you today, don't you stop praying. Keep trusting God. What you've heard, he will do. Let him birth it in your spirit. So here's how I want to ask you to respond today. Some of you, I'll just say this right out the gate. Some of you, the response you need to give today, after I finish praying here in just a moment, is you need to walk out of here and go out there and just have a brief conversation with somebody and get connected into a community group. Why? Because you've been cutting yourself off from the very word, the very encouragement that God wants you to have and wants you to receive. And God also wants to use you to do that. Listen, you can go out there. If you're not comfortable talking to someone, there's a table that's available for you. There's lists of groups. You can sign up there, and we can get in touch with you. We don't want to make anybody uncomfortable, but it's just a dialogue. Find a place to connect to. You need a servant that can be watching and can give you confirmation of what God's doing in your life. You need a friend that you can trust. Do that, please. For some of you, that's the response you need to make today. But for others of you, you might just want to pray with someone. You might want to be encouraged today. Maybe you're just disappointed. You're like Elijah and you're just ready to give up. Maybe you've already given up. I hope today has challenged you to not give up, but to look up. Realize God's still got something in the works. You may not see it, but he's doing it. If you need prayer today, you're welcome to come forward. Some of our pastors and other prayer leaders will be available here to pray with you. Come tonight. If you just want to be encouraged, come tonight and enjoy the presence of God. Feast. We're going to be doing some ministry here tonight as well. All right, Lord, I'm grateful to you for your word. It does speak to us. And I believe, God, you've been speaking to people in this room. I pray, God, particularly for those that are so disappointed. What they thought was a finish line, it really wasn't. Things haven't gone the way they expected. God, we pray for the wind of the Holy Spirit to just well up within them. Use your word to encourage them and use others around them as they open others up to their lives. Will you just pour into them what they need? I pray for the conversations out in the foyer that'll happen in the next couple of minutes. I pray that you'll use those to help guide people, just to find a group. No group is perfect. But if we wait for perfect conditions, it'll never happen. So God, I pray you would just be in those conversations, help people connect with the group meaningfully today. Lord, thank you for your word. It is awesome. It fuels and feeds us. Help us to do our part to feast on it every day. I pray this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen. Come back next week. We're going to conclude this series on Elijah. God bless you. Have a great week.